2. Your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway, and thus begins.
Yeah.
The cavalcade of amazing guests that we've got lined up for the show today.
Well, and it's been a while since we've talked with Twyla Braze, Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and she carries the distinction this morning of being the first of a cavalcade of guests on Justice and Drew and Twin Cities News Talk. Good morning, Twyla. How are we doing this morning? Long time no talk.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm glad to be on.
So we got an urgent, urgent email. We need to talk about this. We have an amendment moving through the legislature. Can you talk a bit about this, what your concern is about it, and why people should know about it?
Yes. So Minnesota has the strongest medical privacy law in the nation. It requires consent for all sorts of things that the HIPAA federal so-called privacy law does not. And so HIPAA does not protect privacy at all, but it allows states to have real privacy laws. Minnesota has the best privacy law in the entire nation, but there is an attempt to get rid of it. Big business, the health plans, the hospital association, the chamber of commerce, everybody wants to have our data as their own. And so today, there is a bill on the floor. And there is an amendment by Representative Nick Zerwas and another amendment by Representative Schumacher. And those two will essentially bypass Minnesota's law and say that we no longer have a right to consent to the sharing of our information, but others will decide what it can be used for, that it can be put online, that it can be shared with researchers without our consent. If we lose our consent rights that we have here in Minnesota, essentially big government, big business, and big data are going to claim our diagnoses, our medications, our conversations with our doctors, our Fitbit data that we put in, our behavior, our problems, our genetic information, all is their own. So we have what everybody in the entire nation should have, but big business once they get rid of it. And they've been lobbying at the Chamber of Commerce has been lobbying, others have been lobbying to try and get rid of it. So this is the time. Representative Peggy Scott has put up 4 different amendments that she's going to use to try and stop this, but she really needs to have people who come, who talk to their own legislators and say, you know what, I want my right of consent, I want my right of privacy, I want to be able to have a fresh second opinion, I don't want to have all my information put online on the state health information network, which is what will happen if I don't have my consent. And so they need to talk to their legislators, their state, their Minnesota state representative, because the fight is today. They need to tell the speaker, Kurt Daut, and they need to tell the majority leader, Joyce Pepin, that this must not happen.
When it comes to privacy standards with health information, you say Minnesota has some of the strongest in the nation. If this were to pass, would Minnesota be more in line with other states, or would Minnesota be more of an anomaly when it comes to protecting patient data?
Nope, we would be. If this were to pass, we would be like every other state that doesn't give their citizens privacy. We have had this for probably about almost 3 decades where we have said privacy is important because privacy is about controlling what happens to you in the exam room. It's either you're going to control it because you control your data or the outsiders are going to control it. They're going to get into your electronic medical record. They're going to control your doctors. They're going to create standardized protocols, and they're going to be able to track your doctors and what they do and pay them less if they don't, don't do what the government or the health plans want them to do. By controlling your information, you actually control what happens in the exam room, and that's what freedom is. Privacy is a foundational protection for freedom. And so that's what we have. That's what all the big businesses who think of our data as gold. It's like the 21st century version of gold. And if they have it, they get to make the rules. But if we keep it, we get to make the rules. So yes, we would be just like everybody else who doesn't protect privacy. And now some of your listeners are thinking that HIPAA protects privacy. But HIPAA is actually considered a disclosure rule. It's not really a privacy rule. It means that everybody is permitted to share our data without our consent according to how they want to share it. But Minnesota has a law that requires our consent so that we get to decide how it's shared, whether it's put online. I don't know if you recall that Facebook about a month ago. It was put out by CNBC, I think, or CBS, I can't remember. That they were going to work with two medical systems to get data, and then they were going to match the Facebook user data with the medical data. Well, in Minnesota, in California, that was. And in California, they could do that. But in Minnesota, they would have to get consent before they could be part of that kind of analysis and research and matching project.
Well, let's talk about this in real world, in a real world situation. Talking with Twyla Braze, the website cchfreedom.org, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. So, for example, I had a birth defect. I've had two open heart surgeries. I go in for annual checkups, and just recently, I've done some blood tests, just your standard blood tests. But I've also gone in for an echocardiogram. Had to go in for a second look at it. Had to have data transferred from California from about 2.5 years ago from a previous echocardiogram to have that looked at by my doctors. You have various physicians within Park Nicolet looking at my data and checking it and talking with me. So you have a set of data. You have blood tests. You have echocardiograms being moved around. How does this affect, say, my information, the data that the doctors, my cardiologists have gleaned from me, and what is the fear here if this amendment goes through to this set of data that let's say they have on me, and who could get a hold of it?
So according to the federal government, if a state doesn't have its own privacy law and you're just under the permissive HIPAA data sharing rule, then all of that information about you can be shared broadly. They list more than 700,000 what they call covered entities. Those are the hospitals, the doctors, the health plans, the data clearing houses, all of those that are involved in actual delivery of care. They also list 1.5 million business associates. And then there are all of the government agencies. So under the HIPAA data sharing rule, which is what everybody else is under, your data can be shared with all of those according to whoever is holding your data. They get to decide. They can put it online. They can share it by the computers. You know, they can share it with whomever. They can share it for something called healthcare operations. This is essentially a list of activities nearly 400 words long for which you would have no consent over how it's used. They could sell it. They could do they could share it with researchers. You'd have no consent over the matter at all. But in Minnesota, you get to decide who gets to see that private information on you.
What's the fear of what could be done with that data? For example, like playing devil's advocate, if there are other researchers that could potentially see my data to better inform them and get a broader spectrum of, say, individuals that have gone through open heart surgeries and have, you know, aortic valve replacement and graft replacement, and they're able to look at my data to compare it to other data, if we put the consent part into it, are we not sort of stunting the ability for doctors to gather that? I'm curious what the concern is about what they'll do with my data that I did not give them the authorization to go and spread around.
So I think what people think perhaps incorrectly about research is that all research is good and all research is beneficent, but there is plenty of objectionable research that comes up with findings that you may not want, or research that combines, for instance, like puts like human blood into mice or that sort of thing. Those are called chimeras. And there are things that people do not want to participate in when it comes to research. There are plenty of things that people want to participate in when it comes to research, and you simply have to sign on the dotted line. The idea here that other people could use your data for their own objectives, for things that might be used to control your doctor. For instance, let's just say they say that 80% of the people respond to XYZ treatment. And so, therefore, we're going to create a treatment protocol. We're going to put it in the computer, and we're going to say that that's the only way that your doctor can do medicine, unless they get permission from XYZ. It really becomes a way of control. So as long as we say he who holds the data makes the rules. And so those who have data, and particularly those who want to control costs or limit access to care, can therefore use that data to make claims that nobody can refute unless you have a
Twyla, I want to research team. Twyla, we got only a few minutes left in this segment, and actually the sponsor of this amendment, friend of the show, regular Friday guest on the roundtable, Nick Zerwas, has called in. I want to go ahead and bring him up. Representative Zerwas, thanks for chiming in. What is your motivation behind this amendment?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. And I just wanted to call with a little bit of information and help folks understand that currently, if my amendment is Representative Schumacher, Chair Schumacher's amendment that goes on that would allow health information to be shared between providers for treatment, payment, and operation. So obviously, you have to share what procedures are done so your health insurance can bill. That's already being done. Operations, as scary as Ms. Braves tries to make that sound, is operating the health system and the hospital that you get your care in. They need to know who's at the hospital. They need to know where to bring your lunch tray. So, not terrifying. And then treatment, if I go to a doctor and the doctor refers me to a specialist, and I go to the specialist, I expect the specialist to know what the heck is going on and to have my information. And so that's what the bill does. Gentlemen.
Hold on, Representative Zerwas. That sounds very, very benign, and it sounds like things that should already be happening. Are those things currently not able to happen because of the way Minnesota's patient privacy laws are written?
You need signatures on both ends. And so I need to affirmatively sign a signature from my referring doctor and then affirmatively sign a signature to the doctor I'm being referred to. Those signatures need to be updated at least once a year. And if either signature is more than 12 months old on either end of that, the information between the two doctors I have chosen to see cannot be shared.
Okay, I want to give Twyla a chance to respond here real quick. Twyla, those signatures, I assume, are what you mean, you know, when you're referring to consent. What I'm gathering here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is what this bill would do would be allow to these entities to share this information without having to go through the process of getting those signatures, and that is where your concern is. Is that accurate, Twyla?
That's correct.
Okay.
Payment and treatment aren't as simple as most people think payment and treatment are. They're very long definitions, as a matter of fact, of different things you can do, including prior authorization, retroactive utilization review, and all sorts of things that your data can be shared for that health plans can use, for instance, to try and say no to your doctor, to not pay your doctor. Healthcare operations is a ton of things that have nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with your clinical care. And therefore, I mean, that whole Facebook thing, right, that was going to probably be under healthcare operations, that these hospital systems could have shared this information with Facebook to do analysis of patients and to give them back information on how, you know, how their patients and Facebook were as Facebook users. So consent is sort of the element, the basic element of ownership and control. And to say that other people get to decide how we use and how they get to use our data and who it gets to go to and whether it gets to go online on the State Health Information Exchange where all sorts of people can access it. Today we have control over that. Today you cannot just go and get every medical record, every place you have ever been on the State Health Information Exchange and look at it as a doctor. You will not get a fresh second opinion if they just get to share your information everywhere without your consent. And it will go to all sorts of businesses who look at it as a way that they can profit off of it or that they can control your doctor.
Do we have any instances, talking with Twyla Braves, do we have any instances where in other places, we didn't have these protections were not in place, and this data has been abused?
Well, see, that's such an interesting question because HIPAA, for the most part, does not require an accounting of disclosures. So that patients have a hard time even understanding where their data has gone because the law doesn't require it. They don't require it, for instance, for this healthcare operations, which, as I said, is this long laundry list of activities for which patients would have no consent, and most of it has nothing to do with actual treatment of patients. This is a data grab. This is a data grab by big business who wants to have access to our data without our consent and to control our doctors.
All right, I want to give Representative Zerwas one more chance to respond before we are up against a break. Representative Zerwas, is that accurate? Are there protections in there that would prevent, you know, a quote, big business from getting this data when they don't necessarily need it and using it in ways to profit?
Well, let's not be ridiculous. It is prohibited by federal law to sell healthcare data without consent. The limited treatment, payment, operation, information sharing that this bill will not allow for private sale of data without someone's consent. That is ridiculous to assert. One of the largest health
systems. No, that's not ridiculous. As a matter of fact, HIPAA allows 18 identifiers to be removed, and then it's not protected at all.
99%.
Nick, stop for just a second. Let's if you guys can hang on the line at 651-989-5855. We are up against a break. We do want to continue this discussion a bit if you both are able to wait, and we'll talk to you throughout the break. 651-989-5855. We do have a bunch of guests coming up. We're going to shift things over. This is obviously very controversial. We want to make sure we have the proper time to kind of work through it.
We are back. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, left off with a very interesting conversation involving Representative Nick Zerwas and healthcare expert Twyla Braze regarding this amendment that's going to be debated on the House floor today. Seems to be some dispute over the degree of which this would open up your information for people to access.
Yeah, and again, we'll do this. Twyla, if you could again just kind of do a quick comment on the concern that you have with this amendment moving forward, and then we'll allow Nick the opportunity to again respond to kind of get everybody reset. And we just ask with both the guests that just allow each other the opportunity to retort with sort of a proper time for both of you. So Twyla Braze again from CCHfreedom.org and the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, your quick concern over this amendment, and then Nick Zerwas will go to you to respond.
So our concern is that we have had a privacy and patient consent law for a long time in this state. We have the strongest one in the nation. We have what every other patient in the whole nation should have when it comes to protection of their confidentiality. And what will happen if this amendment goes through and becomes law is that we will lose all of our privacy rights. We will lose all of our consent rights. There's a reason that big business is pushing this, and it is big business. It is the Chamber of Commerce. It is the health plans. It is the Minnesota Business Partnership. It is not the patients who are pushing this. Patients understand that their control and their confidentiality is related only to their ability to control who has their data, and that happens only through written patient consent. And that's what we have done for a long time in this state. That's what Representative Peggy Scott will be fighting for today on the floor, to not have this amendment happen. But if this amendment does happen, we will lose everything that we have had for a long time. We will lose control over our data, we will lose all our consent rights. We will have outsiders in our medical records deciding what they want to do. Our confidentiality.
Okay, Twyla, we're going to stop you there. We need to make sure we give Representative Nick Zerwas a time to respond. And real quick, Nick, I'm going to pose to you a similar question that I posed to Twyla Braze when we began our discussion. And, you know, repeating sort of, and I know you deal with this as well. I've gone through echocardiograms as of late and blood tests as of late, and had to have transferred data from out of state to have it looked at. Does this affect that? Does this affect the sharing of my data that my cardiologist has with other individuals? What concern should I or should I not have with this amendment as it directly relates to individuals who, say, get a lot of testing done?
And that's the biggest thing, and that's why this has so much support, is allowing doctors to talk to doctors about patients under their care is efficient healthcare and saves money. A recent study just published less than a month ago said that if Minnesota adopted the same health information standards, John, as 48 other states. Let me restate that, guys. While we're talking about allowing doctors, the information we're allowing, talking about doctors being allowed to share, is law in 48 other states. It says if I have a doctor and he refers me to another doctor, that other doctor can look at my health records in order to treat me. If I collapse on a street, they get taken by ambulance to a hospital. That hospital can look up my records in order to treat me. That's what we're talking about. That's why this bill is supported by every single health system in the state of Minnesota. That's why it's supported by the Chamber of Commerce, the Business Partnership. It's supported by every major insurance company in the state of Minnesota. And it's supported by 140 patient advocacy groups.
All right, Nick, I'm going to, Representative Zerwas, I'm going to go ahead and stop you there. Thank you for coming in and sharing your side. Obviously, this is going to be debated on the House floor today. It's going to be a very interesting conversation, very interesting debate to watch. And, Nick, you'll be in tomorrow for the roundtable, right?
Yep.
All right, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you very much for calling in. Twyla, I'm going to bring you back up for more information on your organization and information about this. Go ahead and give out your website.
Yep, it is cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And if they have any questions, just give us a call at 651-646-8935.
And you can...
More important than anything is to call your state legislator.
Yep, and you can get all that information on the website. You can also follow Twyla on Twitter, at Twyla Bray. She's been tweeting out some information about this as well. This is... thank you so much for calling in and sharing your side of this. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
651-989-5855. I've got a couple of people on hold that want to comment on it. Let's go to Darren in Savage, who may have some expertise in this field. Good morning, Darren. Thank you so much for holding on, and welcome to Justice and Drew.
Good morning, gentlemen and lady. I'm a medical professional, and I deal with HIPAA every day. And HIPAA does require you to sign a release of information to allow, and they only need one, so I don't know what Nick was talking about there, where you have to have two. Because if your provider that you're seeing now needs to get medical records or information from you, you sign that one release of information, and they send that to the provider they're requesting records from. So you don't need to have two signatures. I don't know what he was talking about there, but...
Okay. Thank you for the...
You have a thought on this debate that is going to be happening in the House today?
Yeah, well, but both Twyla and Nick had good points. The one thing I do have concern about is I think that you should still have to sign a release of information to share information. However, if it's under continuity of care, right now, a provider can still get some information as long as, you know, it's an emergency situation and things like that. So I don't know what the concern was there either that Nick brought up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Darren. Let's go to Joe in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to share just the experience that my wife and I had about 2 years ago. We had our three kids, we've all gone through home birth on all of them. And I just want to share an example of right now, for some reason, my expectation of how our systems have been working with third parties and our data isn't secure. It's amazing because of the fact that the example that I have is when we had our second child, We had a home birth. There's only two entities that knew of their existence, and that was the state government when we got the birth certificate and the federal government when we enrolled for the Social Security number. And we hadn't gone to the hospital for any of the checkups.
Joe, we're going to stop you there. Hang on the line. If you can hold on through the break, we'll take your call. We'll take your call coming up. If you want to give us a call back, 651-989-5855. We're also going to be joined, Center of the American Experiment, Kim Crockett is going to be joining us, in studio. We got a jam-packed show coming up. Don't go anywhere. If you want to comment on this, 651-989-5855. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk.
I want to say thank you to Twyla Braze and to Representative Nick Zerwas for calling in and giving both sides of what is genuinely a very complicated, this is not a simple issue whatsoever. I find myself agreeing with a good chunk of what of Twyla's concerns, but at the same time also pretty clearly understanding Nick Zerwas's concerns as well. So this is not a an easy sort of one side or other, at least for me, not an easy one side or other conversation. It's going to be interesting to follow the debate in the House.
Let's talk. I want to give a few of my thoughts on it before we talk with Kim Crockett from Center of the American Experiment, because we were discussing this off air. Let's get back to Joe real quick. Now, Joe, your wife had some children, and you had medical data sold. I hear. Can you get to the sort of the core of what happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we just keep it short. I just wanted to say that we never the only two entities that knew of our kids were the federal government and the state government. Through the paperwork that we had that we filled out when we had our children with the midwife, and when our middle child was about a year and a half, we saw that he had a deer tick, so we took him into the hospital to get a round of antibiotics and just to treat any potential Lyme disease issue. And within 2.5 weeks after we went to the hospital, we were inundated with mail from baby food formulas, diapers, basically congratulating us on a new baby. And the only entities that knew of our child prior to that was the federal government and the state government. And
no social media presence.
The hospital, we just got pummeled with third party mailings, advertising for their products. And
are you sure there was no presence on social media in that time?
Yeah, we're not on Facebook. Okay. We're extremely sensitive to any of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was disturbing because we did have a level of expectation, and I think just the pressures that hospitals are under to try to make profits, I don't know how they can, they have that much information that companies want and are willing to pay for. It's very disturbing that would have happened, but I don't have any other explanation for it.
Well, thank you for the call, Joe. And a quick comment on my end with this, because I feel like that this issue, there's like a number of different issues that have been brought into this that may not exactly relate to what Representative Nick Zerwas is attempting to do with this amendment. And it's one of those topics that could take up the whole rest of the show, but we've got a bunch of other guests. This amendment, and looking at the data, this is the data that we received from Twyla Braze, would overturn and the MN privacy law. It would make the federal HIPAA rule the standard in Minnesota. Okay, if the amendment is added to the bill and passes, your consent, according to this, would no longer be required. Everyone sees your medical and genetic data as a source of, according to this, profit, source of controlling your doctor. Your data will be made available online through the State Health Information Exchange. My take on this, and I mentioned this off the break to you guys, is it seems like it's very specific. It seems like the issue itself is going to be very specific in nature to the individual and based off of what they're dealing with. And I would be interested in having a lengthier conversation, and maybe we can talk about it with Nick tomorrow. Because from my perspective, I like the idea of a bunch of my data actually being shared. It takes forever for me to get the advice that I need or to get data from one doctor to another. On top of that, the ability for other doctors around the country to see my data in order to continue doing their research, it strips away the amount of time that I've had to wait already when it comes to getting answers for my specific issues. So if this is a way to still keep a level of privacy but open up the door for access to more professionals to view my data in a positive light so that I can get the information that's important for me quicker, then I don't seem to have an issue with it. It feels like this is a smaller thing that's being blown up into a much bigger thing with a much larger concern in the wake of Cambridge Analytica and Facebook. It seems like there's a lot of fear-mongering going on here.
Kim Crockett from the Center of the American Experiment has joined us in studio. I didn't bring you in to talk about this, but you kind of stumbled into this conversation. I know you've got some thoughts and some comments that you'd like to make on it. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's nice to get in between two friends. Thursday morning, good morning, Twyla and Nick, Representative Zerwas. I would just suggest that we take some time to think about this. We talked over the break on how every single database has been breached. I think your caller makes a good point. Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird when I get in my car and I look at my phone before I put it in drive, and it's telling me where I'm going next, and it knew. And it's like,
I don't think Nick's amendment, though, has an effect on it.
I know. I'm just telling you that I think, let's put it this way, there has to be an advantage to living in Minnesota, and this is one of them.
Okay.
We have medical data privacy. I think that your medical condition, John, and Representative Zerwas are exceptional, and that we ought to be able to, Representative Zerwas, find a way to accommodate that desire that you have that fluidity of data between providers without forcing me and Ms. Braze to be subjected to the same database.
Yeah, it does seem like
this is a simple thing to fix.
For John's concerns, it does seem to me that it wouldn't be that complicated for John to maybe sign a one-time sort of blanket consent.
Yeah.
You know, that he only has to do once, because I totally get not wanting to have to deal with paperwork every time you're
especially
getting a test and every time.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and every time you've got a new doctor coming in and looking at your situation, a new specialist perhaps coming in. I totally understand that. But at the same time, I understand where you're coming from, where you don't have the chronic illness and your, you know, your visits to the doctor are less frequent and you don't know, you have no problem with providing consent at every turn, just to make sure that you have more control over that. There should be some sort of ground where you two, with very different situations, don't necessarily get treated the same.
Right. Well, the hospitals are under pressure to do this. It's gotten to be big medicine, and they don't want to deal with different rules in Minnesota, but tough. There's a state line. Deal with the different rule.
And I know we got to move on to other things, but
I've called my state rep and my state senator, by the way, and I'm calling Pepin and when I leave here today.
I haven't heard, apart from Joe's call, which we can't establish has anything to do with what we're talking about, I haven't heard any horror stories ever in regards to this particular issue. And we are the outlier. This puts us in line with 48 other states. And so I guess the real question is, are we an outlier in the good way being most restrictive, or are we simply here because this was established so long ago being the most private here in Minnesota? The other states haven't followed suit, and we are actually making this more difficult for the healthcare providers to provide assistance to the individuals that need it without extending the process. I mean, again, we're the outlier. So the bottom line is this a big issue the other states should be changing and never have, or are we kind of backwards by making it more difficult for healthcare providers in this particular issue, and we should go and fall in line with the 40 other states?
Yeah, well, we're an outlier on the Real ID as well. We're one of a handful of states that resisted that. Interesting that Minnesota is good at resisting handing over private data. I think that's something to be admired. personally.
Now, in this case, if it requires me to have duplicate stuff done and takes longer for people to get the records they need, I'm not sure if that's the case. And again, not to push back too hard, but you can't, I can't be comparing this to things like Real ID and us being the outlier. I mean, they're all completely different situations. This is worthy of a lengthier conversation.
And it'll be interesting to follow the debate on the floor today and see where this goes. I tend to agree with you, Kim, in the sense that let's give this a little more time.
Yeah,
let's let this idea bake
all be back in January.
Little, exactly. I don't know that there is.
This is a bonding session, by the way, in case anybody didn't know that.
I don't know that there's a sense of urgency with this.
No,
that
I'm not worried about the
wait until
healthcare
the
providers.
This is not, however, why you came in today.
I made it thanks to the longer conversation. You know, we're launching a congestion campaign again. We're going to have billboards up and whatever.
It's gotten so bad.
I took side roads to get here. It was faster
traffic has just gotten ridiculous.
So watch for our cool congestion billboards again.
I'll vote for whichever governor candidate promises me better traffic.
Yeah.
More lanes.
Lanes.
That's
not
it.
Trains.
I'm a single issue voter now.
That's right.
But lanes.
But I am here to tell you that we launched this really cool project this week, a website called educatedteachersmn.com.
It is Teacher Appreciation Week.
It is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and we could think of no better way to reach out to our fantastic Minnesota school teachers than to inform and empower teachers so that they can evaluate the job that the teachers union is doing for them as teaching professionals. There's an opportunity, as you know, coming up. The United States Supreme Court is going to rule in a case called Janus versus AFSCME. And Janus is J-A-N-U-S. His name is Mark Janus. He's a social worker down in Illinois. He has sued the state of Illinois and AFSCME, saying, when you force me to pay agency fees to the union, you violate my First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. This is the Rebecca Friedrichs case mm-hmm. from 2 years
yep.
ago that has been brought back.
Again, we're back to talking about consent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First Amendment consent.
Just because you take a job at a particular institution, you shouldn't lose your ability to consent to have union dues taken out of your paycheck.
Well, it's a fundamental First Amendment right not to subsidize somebody else's political speech.
Right.
And when you're a public employee in a state like Minnesota or Illinois, that are not right-to-work states, in order to keep your job, you have to pay what are called agency fees mm-hmm. To cover the cost of collective bargaining. Well, guess what percentage of union dues agency fees are here in Minnesota? What are teachers paying who don't join the union?
I don't know.
85%.
It's crazy.
And that is true for basically every public employee in the state. Ask me five,
MAE,
SEIU. Yeah, it's a joke.
That's
because
extortion.
They're not spending 85% of their revenues on collective bargaining. So the Supreme Court made a big mistake back in 1977 when they said, we're just going to kind of impinge on your First Amendment rights a little bit because we're afraid of the unions and we don't want you to be a free rider. So we're going to make you a forced rider instead. Well, we're hoping that the court will rule by the end of June that teachers, cops, librarians, MnDOT workers will have the right to evaluate that relationship. But we also feel like teachers are going to need a lot of information because the unions are going to be telling them one thing, kind of scare tactic type stories about what will happen if they don't keep paying the union. They won't make as much money. Teachers will be abused.
That's not true.
That's kind of what I'm hearing from teachers right now.
Yeah.
You know, the things at school are kind of tough for a lot of our teachers.
I am so sick of this this entitled mentality that these public sector unions have when it comes to money that other people go and earn.
Well,
money that other people are going and working for and putting in hours for, and that they could use to feed their family, pay their rent, pay their mortgage, pay their bills, go on a vacation. They could use that money for all sorts of things.
Teachers pay about $1,000 a year.
Unions feel entitled to it.
Right.
And they don't earn it.
Yeah.
You want that money?
It's guaranteed revenue.
Right. That, you want that money, you go earn it. You demonstrate your value to the teachers and let them decide if you are worth giving money to.
Right, and that's what, this is the cool thing. The teachers and other public employees will be customers or potential customers rather than captives. So that's good for teachers. That's good for students. That's good for the unions, frankly, because they'll have to pivot. Mm-hmm. If they want to remain relevant, they will have to say, I'm going to have to figure out what teachers want as opposed to telling them what they want. Mm-hmm. And so we feel like they're going to need a lot of information, and that'll be at educatedteachersmn.com. You can go on there now. There's a ton of good content, good stories, and we'd love to hear from teachers on, you know, what they're experiencing as professionals in the state and what they think about this.
It's an excellent way to show appreciation to all
it
the teachers.
It is, yes.
Give that website out again.
EducatedTeachersMN, like, you know, Minnesota, .com.
EducatedTeachersMN.com. Kim Crockett, unfortunately, we are out of time. The show is just a jam-packed today, and we are moving along. We've got gubernatorial candidate Phil Parrish coming on next.
Awesome. Yeah, also, just after 8:20, we'll be talking with Jason Flores, Americans for Prosperity, talking about another issue that'll be talked about in the legislature today in regards to the fight against opioid abuse. And then Katie Pavlich from Fox News, right after 8:30, really looking forward to that conversation as well.
We just don't have enough show today.
The latest to coming out of Israel with the tensions ratcheting up between Israel and Iran. Lots still to get to here on Twin Cities News Talk and Justice and Drew. Justice and